You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have. Anyone? Anyone who's older than 43? Yes, the facts of life. Edna Garrett salutes you, and on a good day, so does Tootie. But the point of this is that these days, the Red Sox really are about a little give and take, a little push and pull. A couple guys are up, a couple guys are down. Can't we all row this boat together, fellas? It'd be easy to say it was all bad Tuesday in Toronto. It was a 10-3 loss. But we'll try to find the good to go with the not so good. Now, on the podcast we call Sox Daily.
It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. Oh, it's your daily Sox podcast. And here's your host.
Well, the Sox won in a blowout Monday. They lost in a blowout Tuesday. Momentum is, as they say, the next day's starting pitcher, and the Blue Jays had their best in Marcus Stroman. The Red Sox had maybe not their worst, but their most enigmatic and frustrating for sure, Eduardo Rodriguez. Josh Lewin with you, 10-3 the final. And I don't really want to go through the minutiae of the game itself, really. Rowdy Tellez hit two bombs on hanging sliders. Five runs batted in for him as he just continues to assault the Sox every time he plays them. With your permission, I figure we should maybe just skip right to what is working and what is not working right now. This could be a very long podcast if we really broke it down, but I'm going to pick a couple things that are working fine, a couple things that are not. The loss dropped the Sox to 25-23, and that's still just 3.5 behind Tampa Bay, but it's now 5.5 behind the freaking Yankees, the never heard of them junior varsity version of the New York Yankees, which is really annoying. But heading in, we were looking at this. 8-3 in their last 11 games, no problem. 14-5 in their last 19, 19-9 in their last 28. Since that 2-8 start, they got the fifth best winning percentage in baseball. So not really that much to complain about. You go since the Michael Chavis call-up, and the plus 74 run differential was actually tied with the Astros for the best in Major League Baseball. Pitching, since April 24, so basically 4 weeks' time, American League's lowest ERA. They've got the majors' lowest opponent's batting average of 195 and the lowest OPS again. So the bullpen, for the most part, very good too. Relievers in that time, 1.89 ERA, that's the best. Home runs are starting to fly. So, yeah, some good things happening, all fine items on which to report. But when Eduardo Rodriguez is rolling for three innings, then just suddenly loses the plot entirely, bad things tend to happen, and they did on Tuesday night. So, for the good guys, Mitch Moreland, another home run. Last year, Mitch Moreland was Mitchy Two Bags because it was doubles, not homers, and we were all cool with that. 15 homers all year. That was for a platooning first baseman, and that's probably par for the course. Not dazzling, not dire, somewhere in the middle. Very Doug Minkiewicz. Well, this year, as of Tuesday night, with a shot off of Stroman, 13 home runs already this year. So that's a pace for close to 50, not 15. He's got a top 15 OPS. Only five American League players have more than those 13 home runs, and all of them have done so in more at-bats. This guy's always been a hitter. He's not hitting for average this year, but his senior year at Mississippi State, .343 batting average when he was also the closer on that team. And yes, I did say senior. There's not a lot of guys that are college seniors who enter pro ball that aren't looked at with the old arched eyebrow. It worked okay for Ryan Howard and Kevin Youkilis and Jason Bay, but you're more likely to be Lyle Overbay than Jason Bay if you're a fourth-year college player usually. 17th round pick. So anything you're getting from Moreland that's above replacement level is a bonus, and he's way above that this year. So that's checkmark number one under the good guys. Got to go back to Rafael Devers as well. He had a home run Tuesday again. Remember, he was sitting on zero for seemingly forever this year. Now he's at five, all collected in the last 17 days. And we keep reminding you, we're trying to remind you anyway, this guy made his major league debut before his 21st birthday. He became the youngest regular position player in the big leagues at that time. And ever since then, he's got 36 home runs. He's hit him off of Verlander and Chapman and Bauer, among others. He hired the nutritionist. He doesn't go to Chipotle all the time anymore. Guy's taking things pretty seriously. I know the defense could still have some rough edges sanded down. We all understand that. But Ever since the three-run opposite field home run in Houston that basically won them the AL pennant last year, I've been a huge Devers guy. And I don't think there's any reason to think that this year is going to turn south for him. 320 batting average now, that is fifth in the AL. Jorge Polanco, by the way, is number one of Minnesota. Josh Reddick is number two. Tim Anderson, three. Wouldn't have guessed any of those guys. And I'm just putting this out there. I know we're not supposed to compare anybody to Wade Boggs, and certainly Devers is not Boggs. But just follow me for a second. Wade Boggs, at the age of 22, hit 306, and he did it at Pawtucket with one home run in 486 trips to the plate. The year before that, at AA, he hit zero home runs. And obviously, you guys know where it went, all the way to the Hall of Fame without a whole lot of power ever developing, save for the one year that he cranked the 24 in 87, I guess that was. But he was turning 30 when he did that and led the whole league in OPS, by the way. He was ahead of Molitor and McGuire, among others. But anywhere it goes from here for Rafael Devers, I'm a fan. Okay, so we've gotten that out of the way. Those are two good things that came, the shiny stuff out of the rubble from a 10-3 loss. Here are a couple bad things. They are pitching things. They are Tyler Thornburg, and they are Eduardo Rodriguez. Now, Thornburg, and I've been very patient, as I know a lot of you have tried to be as well, but he has now put 31 men on base in not even 18 innings. 19 of those 31 have scored. His ERA is 7.71. He's working exclusively in the lowest leverage spots possible. And there was a time we thought this guy would emerge as the closer this year. He'd come back from the surgery, get rested, blah, blah, blah. Well, the high leverage guy to the nth degree instead has been Barnes. It seems like all Barnes does is face three, four, five guys constantly. In fact, Barnes has faced a number nine hitter three times all year. He has faced a cleanup guy 14 times this year. I think that says a lot. Anyway, Thornburg for Travis Shaw is not Bagwell for Larry Anderson. It's not that egregious because Travis Shaw, even though, yes, he had a couple nice years for Milwaukee and has a sweet-ass nickname, this guy's not a Hall of Famer. He's not an All-Star. This year, Travis Shaw is hitting 163 with an OPS of 540. You know who else has an OPS of 540 or less than that with enough qualifying at-bats? There's one guy in all of baseball, and you probably know who it is. It's Jackie Bradley Jr. So if Travis Shaw was a pitcher this year, he'd be, oh, let's say Tyler Thornburg. My point is it's much easier to cut your losses with Thornburg while Shaw has been impeached as mayor of Ding Dong City. And I'm not anti-Thornburg. I actually think he's a super nice guy. But it's got to be time to do something because the back of this bullpen, it's all mop-up guys. Brewer, Smith, or Weber, or whoever's up from Pawtucket. And Brewer, despite the great spin rates, I keep waiting for something better. But anyway, that brings us to Eduardo Rodriguez. The final line for him Tuesday night, 5 innings, 6 hits, 6 runs, all earned, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts. Kind of seems like the same old, right? 95 pitches to sludge through 5 innings. His whip is now 1.5. ERA is 5.43. And of qualifying major league pitchers, 5.43 ranks 84th out of 88. Hashtag be better. This is not a guy with 20 or 30 major league starts and training wheels on him anymore. He's made close to 100 big league starts. His next birthday, he will blow out 27 candles, although it may take him 30 seconds to get that done. His similarity score, according to Baseball Reference, through his age 26 season, it best matches up with fellow lefty Jonathan Neese, former Met. And, Toronto was dead last in the majors as a team, hitting 217 coming in on Tuesday night. Not a team that should remind you you're the Venezuelan Jonathan Neese. So let's end this segment with one last good thing. There was a two-hit game for Bradley on Tuesday, and back-to-back games with home runs, his first two of the year. Granted, it's off the back of a bad bullpen, but he'll take it. It's just his third two-hit game all season, his first since April 24th. Batting average is up to 157. And I know that sounds horrible, but at least it's something. Alex Cora, after the game, here's what he had to say.
Same as the last one. We need to start getting lefties out. I think that's the next step with him. He wasn't able to get the leads out today. Actually, the first at bat, he missed one. Then hit a changer for a home run, the slider for a home run. So I think that's the next step. We saw it the last one. It's been like that the whole season, I think. You know, you start looking, even spring training. So we'll take a look and see where we at and try to use his stuff in certain spots so he can start doing that.
Is that an execution or selection?
No. Combination of both, I think. He's been hurt with that changeup down and in a few times this season. Smith from Baltimore at home, that one. He was very dominant last year, I think, against lefties. We even used him like that in the playoffs to get lefties out. It hasn't happened this year, so we'll take a look. Dana, CB, Eduardo, and, you know, even David and Chris to see what he can come up with and see if we have to attack them in a different way and use his stuff in a different spot so he gets them out. But I believe that he can do it. You know, it's no doubt about it.
After the home run by Grichuk, you went out to see him and not Dana. What did you want to say there?
Stuff that I see in the game, so just to make sure we make adjustments. You know, they're pretty good at paying attention to details. We are too, so just to make sure we clean up a few things up.
It's kind of fair to say you were pretty upset.
No, it wasn't upset. It was we got to make sure. No, it was something that I saw. Not it's not like body language, whatever. It's something that, hey, we've been talking about this, and it's not stuff. It's other stuff, baseball stuff. Yeah.
What is the stuff that he should be doing that he's not?
No. I mean, I don't want to say it because then people are going to start searching for that. So, yeah.
What was the dispute between you and Stroman there? I think it was in the fourth.
No, with me, no. I was telling Alan to, like, if he's going to get on our guys, get on him, you know. It's the same thing with him every day, you know. Like, he competes a certain way and people don't like it, and it seems like whenever a team that I'm in, you know, somebody screams at him, and I don't know. That's the way he acts, and he's a good pitcher, you know, and he gets motivated in different ways, you know. Some people like it, some people don't, so whatever, you know. It is what it is.
Is he quick pitcher?
In that one, I think Michael called time, and as soon as Michael got on the box, he pitched right there, and I don't know what they say, you know, but it's people competing out there, you know. He was pretty decent today. You know, he went, six innings. And, you know, I think we had a lot of traffic out there. He got he made some pitches when we had to, and he got the W.
This last week, Alex, you feel like, you know, you had a good stretch. Do you feel like you're kind of spinning your wheels a little bit last week?
No, not at all. I mean, we just didn't make pitches today, and that's it. But, you know, we come here to win the series when we went to Houston. So, you know, it's not actually, it hasn't been that bad. You know, today was, you know, the home runs, we pay the price, but it hasn't been, you know, the whole week we've been playing good baseball.
All right, there's your fine commentary from the skipper. And again, it's just one step forward, one step back. They just can't seem to do better than that these days. The Wednesday matchup, we expect Hector Velazquez and a cast of thousands against the blister-prone Aaron Sanchez. I've never tried to pitch with a blister. I know I hate having blisters, and I'm sure you probably feel the same way. I hate canker sores even worse. But I'm getting way off track here. This guy has been past 100 pitches once this year. That's it. And he was at exactly 105 innings in Boston 6 weeks ago. 4 runs allowed that day, but only one of them earned. For the season, he is 3-4, 3.88. For those of you who have been listening closely and have really good Bose equipment on your ears or something like that, yes, I am recording this within distance of a couple of dogs. So they're not mine. They're from down the street. But it sounds like there's a Judge Judy episode about to break out on this block. Sounds like some sort of Rottweiler mix against some, I don't know, Labradoodle. And the warring dog factions always seem to be good theater for Judge Judy. So I might just kind of step down the street to see where that goes, if you all don't mind, and I'll get back to you if there's any good news on that. The good news to end with here on the podcast, despite the loss, look, last 20 games, 14 wins, 6 losses. I'll take that every 20-game stretch, and I'm sure you will too. The bad news is there's only been 2 games gained in that time. You go 14-6, and the teams you're chasing are still winning. You're spinning your wheels. And there's some more potential bad news lurking around the corner. No, it's not a Rottweiler, but, well, although maybe, I don't know. Next 2 series for the Red Sox are Houston and Cleveland. The Yankees have the Royals and San Diego. So, just putting it out there, take these next 2, get your 3 out of 4 in Toronto, as you should, and maybe things will toggle back to where they belong. This is Josh Lewin. I'm going to go see if I can get in the middle of a dog fight. And I'll talk to you again tomorrow. Bye-bye.